This is lesson number 9, and the lesson title is the Exodus Error. The Exodus Error. Let's review our errors. Number 1, class.
Creation.
Creation. Number 2. Patriarchs. Number 3.
Exodus.
Number 4.
Conquest.
5.
Judges.
6.
Kingdom.
7.
Exile.
Also known as the captivity. Last 70 years. Finally,
silence.
Silence.
No.
Return,
and then the silence.
Yes.
Okay, let's review our main players: Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. All those men are found in Genesis. All right, open your Bible to Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus number 1. Please look at verse number 8. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 8. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 8. Now we see a transition. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Another word for king is?
Pharaoh.
Pharaoh. Very good. So the Pharaoh that appointed Joseph to the position of prime minister is no longer in charge. And there is a new Pharaoh. So we've got a transition point occurring in our history of the children of Israel. We're going to draw a line. Joseph is still alive, but there is a significant turning point. Exodus is a significant turning point, and it starts off with a new king or a new Pharaoh. So we've got the old Pharaoh in Genesis and a new Pharaoh. And the bottom line is the new king does not care for Jews. The new king hates Jews. The new king sees the Jews as slaves. And they work for the Egyptians. That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. In the book of Genesis, God raises up a leader. He is the most important leader. Maybe Abraham, but that would be a strong argument that he is the most important man in the Old Testament, and his name is Moses. Moses. So in the same way that when you thought about, in the same way you thought about Genesis, if I said to you, who is the most important man in Genesis, I would want you to answer Abraham. When I ask you who's the most important person in the Exodus era, I immediately want you to think of
Moses.
That's right. I want you to think of Moses. All right, Moses has an amazing childhood because he's supposed to be killed. Moses is supposed to be killed. The Egyptians are getting concerned that there are too many Jews. I mean, those Jews just keep having children. They have children and children and children. And their fear is that the Jews are going to outnumber the
Egyptians.
And when the Jews outnumber the Egyptians, they'll revolt against us and destroy us. And so the edict is given to kill the firstborn or kill the male children. Why the male children? That's right, because they will fight. The males will fight. The women are available for the Egyptians to marry or at least to enjoy, but the boys, the males, the future males, are the fear. So the guidance is given to the handmaids that when the child is delivered, if it's a boy, they are to kill that boy. They are to kill that boy. What happens with Moses?
He's
protected. How does God protect him?
His wife. His mom puts him in the river with the reeds.
Yeah, she's put in, the handmaid puts him in some type of a container that is waterproof, and she takes him out there just the right moment and pushes him to where Pharaoh's daughter is out there enjoying the river. She sees the cute little baby. Who can resist a cute little baby? She sends her servant girl out there to get the baby. And what happens next?
She wants him to be her son.
All right. Yeah, she wants him to be her son, but more than that happens. Okay, so who's she called for?
His mom.
And so mom gets to raise the boy in the palace. And they don't even know it's his mom. Just thinks it's another handmaid or another servant girl, another slave. And Moses grows up in Pharaoh's
palace,
Pharaoh's house, right. So he's very educated, knows all about the problems, but he is a Jew. And is made aware of his Jewishness, so to speak. And he suddenly sees what's happening to the Jews, and he murders somebody.
An Egyptian.
An Egyptian.
An Egyptian.
and this is not good. There's a fear. He runs away, gets away for his life, and then God calls him back to do what?
Lead them out of Egypt.
Yep, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. So Moses is our main character, and he is the one that is central to leading the Israelites out of Egypt. All right, his brother is Aaron. You need to know Aaron. Aaron is the first high priest. His sister is Miriam. Let me spell it for you. M-I-R-I-A-M. So that's three characters I just gave you. Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And then number four would be the Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And number five was Joseph. I'm sorry, Joshua. And I just realized that it was confusing to you guys. Joseph is dead. What I meant was the memory or the legend of Joseph is fading, okay? I may have said in the beginning of the lecture that Joseph was alive. What I meant to say was the contribution or the legend of Joseph. Can I clarify that for you guys? Joseph dies in the end of Genesis. Joseph is dead. What I meant to say was the memory or the great contribution that he made in the sense that Joseph saved them from starvation. And so at the time, Joseph was revered. As time progresses, his dead body is gone, his legend goes away, and nobody cares about Joseph anymore. And people are beginning to say, George, where did all these Jews come from? And now they're a problem, and that's where the oppression begins against the Jews. The Jews call out and say, we want to worship God like we're supposed to, and the Egyptians put even more work on them. Everyone tracking? Yes? Okay, that's the general idea. Please write down these four main events in this era. Please write them down. Number one would be the deliverance. The deliverance, that's the getting up out of Egypt, so to speak. Number two would be the receiving of the law. Receiving of the law. Please write down 1440 BC next to that. Number three would be the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. Let me spell that for you. Kadesh is Kadesh-Barnea. Barnea. Kadesh Barnea. And number four are the 40 years of wandering. The 40 years of wandering. So let's go to the dry erase board and kind of chalk this out for us. Okay, watch again my fantastic artistic abilities. Ready? This is a major continent down over here. What is it?
Africa.
Africa. And that looks like Africa. What is this body of water right here?
Mediterranean
Sea. Very good. And then we move over here, and there's a little pocket of area land here called?
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia is the larger one. This is the promised land right here, or this is Canaan, or another name?
Israel.
Very good. Israel. All right, there is a body of water separating these, and this body is the Red
Sea.
The Red Sea. All right? So, prior to Exodus chapter number 1, Joseph and family, Jacob and family moved down here. The Bible says there were 70. Several hundred years go by. This is now a much larger people. All these Jews are down here in Egypt, ready to be led out. Moses leads them out and across. The first thing that happens is they get the law. They get the law. They move up into Israel. They're ready to go in. They send out the spies. How many?
12.
How many say, let's take the land, George?
Two.
Two? Stereo, did you hear? And you kind of have a little echo over there. Two. And who are the two that say, yes, we can take it?
Joshua.
And?
Caleb.
Joshua and Caleb. Yes, here I'm looking right at you, but she's going to talk. I mean, there's just no way around it. Okay? Tape.
I was saying it too.
Duct tape.
We should separate them.
Okay. George, spies. We can take the land. 10 say, no way. That's the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. The punishment for that is wandering for, Matt?
40 years.
40 years until that entire generation dies off. So this wandering occurs down here, south of the Promised Land, can't do it, can't take it, come down here, and then wander around for 40 years. Those are our main four events that we are thinking about, our main four events. You got it? Mm-hmm. Characters, go over them, please. Who's the number one character?
Moses.
Moses, very good, okay. Who is the future replacement for Moses?
Joshua.
Joshua, very good. Who is the first high priest?
Aaron.
Aaron, good. Moses' sister is mentioned as a main player because she won't stop running her mouth. I mean, we're talking about a complaining nag of a woman. And we have a different Pharaoh. A different Pharaoh. So if I ask you what's the difference between the Pharaoh of Genesis and the Pharaoh of Exodus, the Pharaoh of Genesis appointed Joseph. The Pharaoh of Exodus doesn't know who Joseph is. Okay, the memory's virtually gone. All right, again, let's make sure we know our major locations. Egypt, Canaan, the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, the Mediterranean Sea. That's the entire area that we want to know what's going on. What is the major event that occurs prior to crossing the Red Sea? Matt, what's the major event that occurs prior to crossing the Red Sea? There is a battle that occurs between Moses and the Egyptians. A series of
plagues.
Plagues. A series of plagues. There are a total of 10 plagues. There are a total of 10 plagues. What do we mean by a plague? What's a plague?
Curse.
Okay, a curse. All right, so the first plague is that the Nile turns to blood. The second plague is that there are frogs everywhere. Frogs everywhere. Frogs in your Cheerios. Frogs everywhere. I mean, just frogs beyond measure. You can't go to bed and you open the sheets and there's frogs in there. I mean, they're everywhere. Number three is lice. Lice in your hair, lice everywhere. Number four is flies. Swarming to the point where you couldn't even see your skin. There would be that many flies. Number five is disease on livestock. Disease on livestock. Number six are boils. Number seven, there's an amazing hailstorm. Number eight, locusts. And locusts are known to do what?
Destroy crops.
Eat, destroy crops. Number nine, total darkness. Number 10, and the ultimate one. What is number 10 and the ultimate one?
Oh, the firstborn.
If there's not blood on the door.
Passover.
Number 10 is the ultimate curse, and it's the death of the firstborn. That's the one we want to talk about the most. Turn to Exodus chapter number 12, verse 13. Exodus 12, verse 13. Exodus 12, verse 13, please. Now remember, this entire series of plagues going back and forth was a contest between God and Satan, ultimately, where God is manifesting his supernatural power and permitting Satan to manifest equal power up until number 10, and which is the final straw, and God maintains his amazing sovereignty. God, oh, by the way, is the one that's hardening whose heart?
Pharaoh's
heart. So that every time that they petition him and say, let my people go, he maybe temporarily says something, but always resents harder and harder and harder heart. Refusing and refusing and refusing. Thus we go to the next plague, there's an interaction. We go to the third plague, there's an interaction. We go to the fourth plague, they petition, no. Fifth plague, and so on and so forth. Everyone tracking over that. Back and forth. Until ultimately God says this is the final plague, and it's the promise that the death angel will come into Egypt and kill the firstborn of everything. Livestock, everything. It's the ultimate destruction. So now, verse number 12, 13, chapter 12. Matt, you got it? Read it nice and loud.
And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall be not upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
So this is a communication between God through Moses to the Israelites. And the general idea is, I'm going to send the death angel in, and into Egypt. And every house that does not have this marking on it, every house that does not have this marking, the death angel is going to come in and kill the firstborn. If you don't want the death angel in your house killing the firstborn, then as a token of or a sign of your faith in what God will do, that is Passover, then you were to put blood at the top and here and here. So they were to take a lamb. They were to take a lamb. They were to sacrifice that lamb. The blood from that sacrifice was to be smeared onto the door. Now what is this a picture of, sophomores?
Cross.
This is the cross. I can see a top, I can see a left, I can see a right, I can see Christ on the cross. And the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So this was, another beautiful picture of Christ coming. Did you notice the wording? What's he going to do? He's going to pass
over.
What Jewish festival will they celebrate from this point on every single year?
The Passover.
The Passover. And they're going to remember the time that the death angel passed over their house. And who was saved? The firstborn in the house was saved. They did not have to die. Christ dies so that you do not have to die. Blood is shed so that you do not have to die. Your sins are passed over. This all is a picture of what Christ would do someday. Turn to Hebrews 11:28. Turn to Hebrews 11:28. Hebrews 11:28. Later on, the author of Hebrews will bring to our attention in verse number 28. Bethany, read that.
Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them.
So this was an act of faith. How were they saved back then?
By faith.
By faith. By faith. They had to believe that there was a coming death angel, and if they would do something as simple as putting blood on the doorpost, then that the death angel would pass over to that house. And the death angel would go from house to house to house, and only those houses that did not have the blood on the door would he enter into those houses and kill the firstborn in that house. What is Pharaoh's reaction to this amazing tragedy?
He finally lets them go,
and sends them on their way. Go! Okay? In route, they are going, in route, what happens?
Pharaoh hardens his heart again.
Yeah, he hardens his heart again, and he says, we made a mistake. And so what's he send after them?
Chariots.
Yeah, he sends his army after them. He sends the special forces and the rangers to go after them, capture them, and bring them back. Turn to Exodus 14 very quickly. Exodus 14. Look at verse number 13. Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them no more. Now look at verse number 14. The Lord shall fight for you. God's fighting for Israel now. God's protecting his people now. And so they cross the Red Sea on the other side, and then they walk across on dry ground, and just at the right moment when the preponderance of the enemy is in the exact right location, God relinquishes the parting of the sea, and we have thousands of Pharaoh's men dying by drowning. Okay? Any questions? Okay, that's part one. Number two, Exodus 19. Turn there, please. Exodus 19, part two, or section two, or main event two. Exodus 19, we are now located at Mount Sinai. We are outside of Egypt. We're on the other side of the Red Sea. We have not entered into the Promised Land yet. Prior to entering into the Promised Land, we need to receive the law. the Mosaic Law or the Torah. In Exodus 19, God calls Moses to come up onto the mountain and receive the law. Verse 20 says, "And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up, and the Lord God said unto Moses, Go down and charge the people, test that lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish." So they can't even come see God. Verse number 20, we get the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 1. "And God spake unto the word, saying, I am the Lord thy God." And you remember the Ten Commandments. There they are right there. What do you need to know about that? That the Ten Commandments are found in Exodus chapter number 20, that the year is 1440 B.C., and that Moses received them from God. In addition to the Ten Commandments, God also gave them instructions to set up a what? Not a temple. We're right before that. A tabernacle. All right. What's the difference between a tabernacle and a temple? A temple is permanent. A tabernacle is a moving tent. You can pack this thing up. Think about camping. At this point, Israelites have been organized, and Aaron and all the Levites work at the tabernacle. And every time they move the entire tabernacle. What happens at the tabernacle? What's the primary thing that happens at the tabernacle? Offerings are made, sacrifices are made, offerings are made to God on behalf of the people, because the people transgress the law, and a transgression of the law is what? It's sin. Okay? Exodus 32, there is a golden calf incident. A golden calf incident. What happens with the golden calf? Moses is up there receiving the law, and what are the Israelites doing? They are down there worshiping a golden calf. And Moses comes down, and in verse 21 of Exodus 32, "And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto you, that thou brought such a great sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know these people, that they are set on mischief. And they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. As for Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and we know not what has become of him." Moses is up in Mount Sinai so long with God that they've forgotten about God. They've forgotten about Moses. "And I said unto them, Whatsoever hath any gold, let them break it off. And so they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Now you talk about passing the buck. I mean, this is, Aaron says, "Don't blame me." We just threw it in a fire, and out came this calf. And the best way to understand the debacle that's happening here is really a sexual orgy of sorts. Just utter mess. Can't even imagine it. It is an unbelievable abomination before God. Number 3, rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. Turn to Numbers chapter number 10. Numbers chapter 10. Okay. Chapter number 13, 12 men are chosen, representatives from every single tribe. They go out for 40 days. What are they doing for the 40 days? They're conducting a reconnaissance to determine how they're going to take down the land. Okay? Verse 25, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation of the Israelites. And they described, We came to the land where he sent us. It was flowed with milk and honey, fruit thereof. People are huge. They dwell in cities that are walled. They're large." And the bottom line is, we can't do it. We cannot do this. As we said earlier, the only two that say we can do something are Joshua and Caleb. Right. Now I want you to notice on chapter number 14, I want you to notice verse 11. "And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? How long will they err they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a great nation and a mightier than they all. Now, why is God so exasperated? Why is God so exasperated?
Just so tired of them.
Because no matter what he does, they're not pleased.
More than that, they don't have faith in his sovereign ability to do what? To defeat him. It's like, hey, idiots, do you not remember how I fought for you at the Red Sea? Do you think I've now become a weak God all of a sudden that we can't do the same thing here in Jericho and all the other cities? How did you become so faithless? How is it that 12 go out and only 2 say we can take the land? And so God says, I'm going to wipe you all out. I'm going to start again with who? With Moses. I'm starting again with Moses. I'm going to wipe them all out. Start again with... Now, God's already done this. Who has he already done this with one time before?
Noah.
With Noah. It's not a new idea. This is not... I'm going to do it. And who intervenes to save their lives?
Moses.
Moses does. Moses steps up as the mediator or the picture of Christ. Says, God, you can't do that. Wait a minute. Who are you, Moses, to tell me what I can't do? And Moses appeals to the glory of God and says, Moses, if you wipe them out, what are people going to say about you? And Moses appeals to the glory of God or God's reputation. And so event number 4 is the alternative here. And in verse 32, let's look at it together. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. All right, I'm going to let you live. I won't kill you right now, but you're never going into the promised land. Your carcass, don't you love the fact that you have a carcass? Your carcass will rot in the wilderness. And so for 40 years, they wander around southwest of the promised land until all the generation of the faithless rebels die. And then God raises up Joshua to be the new leader. Moses is allowed to see the land but can't cross over. In the next period, the conquest, Joshua will become the leader. They'll cross the Jordan River and they'll start taking down cities one at a time. The first one's going to be Jericho. This is the transition. Moses dies and Joshua happens after the wandering around. Why was it 40 years? Okay, but more than that, how many days, Matt, were they wandering around as spies?
40.
That's right, for 40. So for every day that you were spying out the land and determining that you could not do it, you will spend a year in the wilderness wandering around. So let's review. Main event number 1 was the deliverance. That is the leaving the land. Main event number 2 was the receiving the law, which includes the tabernacle. Main event number 3 was the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. That's where we said we can't take the land. Main event number 4 of the Exodus and the closing down of the Exodus was the 40 years of wandering around. This is where, let me refresh you, this is where God takes care of them. What's he feed them?
Manna
from heaven. They get tired of that. What bird does he give them?
Quail.
This is where their shoes don't run out. Say that again? The third one was the rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. The rebellion at Kadesh Barnea. The 2 books of the Bible that we covered were Exodus and
Numbers.
Exodus and Numbers.